Our scripture reading you can find on page 2 in your order of service. It's 1 Peter 2, 23 to 25. This is God's word. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Amen. That is God's word. It's April 15th. Did you know, probably some of you in here did know, that 110 years ago today, on April 15th, that would be 1912, the HMS Titanic sunk, and more than 1,500 people died in one of the most well-known disasters in modern history, 110 years ago today. Now, that incident has spurred many urban legends, but we do know that this one thing is true. We know that as the ship went down, that the band decided to stay and play until they were consumed by the water. In the famous 1997 movie of the same name, that movie came out 25 years ago, which makes me feel very old. It's directed by James Cameron. The band begins to play Nearer My God to Thee. That's one of the songs that the survivors said was played, unsure if it was the very last one. And in that movie, when they begin to play Nearer My God to Thee, the camera begins to show us different scenes from the ship going down. And they're horrible scenes, even though they're fake. You know, someone's acting, it's still representing something that really happened. And there is a brief double scene when the band is playing Nearer My God to Thee that I remember the first time I saw it. I actually did not see this movie in the theater. I saw it on TNT one night, I guess. But I remember the first time I saw it. I'll never forget this part of it. The band begins to play, and they show an old couple laying on a bed, and the elderly lady is crying, and the husband gives her a kiss on the cheek, and it's a top-down view, and you can see the water coming in underneath them. And then what I would consider to be the hardest scene to watch in the entire movie is then they show a mom and two kids who are trapped in the lower part of the boat. And the mom has tucked her little children into the bed, and she's trying to read them a story because she knows they can't escape. And that hit me hard before I had children. It hit me very hard when I went and rewatched it this week. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to those scenes in movies or books or plays, I have this tendency, which is I don't want to watch. I want to look away. I want to avert my eyes. I want to change the channel really quick and come back later when that's over. Because I don't like to see tragic things. I don't like to see heart-wrenching things. And that brings me to our passage tonight. I'm not going to preach this whole passage. I'm just going to preach the tail end of verse 24. It's actually a fragment in English. It just says this: by his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. That is the most tragic story in the history of the world. The only innocent person who has ever lived in the history of the world, the very Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, is beaten, and mocked and sadistically murdered. And on top of all that, God's only son is subject to the full weight of his unmitigated wrath. And that is enough to make you want to look away. You know, when Isaac was going up the hill with his dad, he said, "Dad," I'm paraphrasing now from Genesis 22, but he says, "Dad, we have the wood and the fire. Where's the sacrifice?" And when he gets up to the top of the hill, they find a substitute. They find a ram caught in a thicket. But there would be no substitute for Jesus. When he carried his wood up the hill, he was the substitute. And tonight is a night, this service is a service where we dare not avert our eyes. We don't look away. And we don't focus on this because it's enjoyable or because it feels good, but because Peter tells us here that these gruesome wounds, he says, by these wounds, this holy rejection of his only son, that by that, that somehow that is the source of our healing. And so we have to look at it. When I was a little kid, there was one thing in my parents' medicine cabinet that scared me more than any other thing. It's not even legal to use anymore. It's a little bitty bottle of pink liquid with a stick that comes out. It's called Mercurochrome. Some of you who were raised in the 60s and 70s know what that is. And it's about 30% just straight alcohol. And any time that I skinned my knee, any time that I fell or had a cut, I knew that my dad was, or my mom, and just typically my dad, was going to make me come to the bathroom and hold out that wound, and he was going to take that stick and he was going to put that stuff on there. And children, I'm just going to tell you, since you've never experienced it and will never experience it, it stung something awful. It hurt. And I would cry and I would flinch and I would protest. And I would say, "Let's just see what a Band-Aid can do." And over all that protestation and over all those cries, I was told again and again and again, "No, we have to do this because this will clean this wound and it will help it heal." Tonight, what we're doing is we are embracing the sting of Jesus Christ's death, of our Savior being stricken and smitten and afflicted by God. Tonight, we are beholding the cost, the full cost of our redemption. Tonight, we are gazing at the worst thing imaginable, because through God, it has ordained that we are healed and made whole.